Welcome to the Echo and Encourage podcast. I'm your host, Hannah Abbott, and I'm honored to have you here. This is the place where we talk about things that echo eternity and encourage everyone. Whether you're looking for powerful strategies to grow on your personal journey or the best tips to flourish in every area of your life, you're in the right spot. Let's dive into today's episode. Welcome to the Echo and Encourage podcast. I'm your host, Hannah Abbott, and today we have Gabriella Gizzo, speech therapist and children's author. Welcome, Gabriella. It is an honor to have you here today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for being here. Tell us about how you got into the field of speech language pathology.
Yeah, that's a great question. So it pretty much was what I always wanted to do because I'm the oldest in my family. I have a younger sister and a younger brother. And my younger brother actually was, you know, what they call like a late talker. And he needed speech therapy when he was a child. So I got to see the speech therapist coming to our house and I got to see her working with him firsthand. And then he received some services in the school as well. And I pretty much knew, like, when I was a child, like, that's what I want to do. I want to, you know, at the time I was like, oh, this is so cool. Like, I want to play with other kids. But yeah, it really made such a powerful and positive impact on me. And that was pretty much it. I always wanted to be a speech therapist.
That's so beautiful that you got to see firsthand what it was like to have a speech therapist support your brother. And then you went for it. Where did you end up going to school?
Yeah, I did my undergrad at Loyola University, Maryland, and then my master's at Adelphi in Long Island.
Did you stay local for your clinical fellowship or did you go far?
So that was like, it was a crazy time, I have to be honest, because it was right like when COVID had started and I had graduated right also during that time. So it was done, my CFY was done mostly like in Connecticut and then a little bit in New York as well. So it was pretty local.
And what populations have you worked with and are you currently working with?
Yes. Yeah, so I pretty much honestly have done everything. I have done like preschool all the way through middle school. So I've done a lot of school age and working in the schools, but I also have done EI in the home care setting. And right now I work at a specialized school in the Bronx for children with, they have severe visual and cognitive impairments. So they have pretty severe disabilities, like they're in wheelchairs, for example, or they could be blind and have like cerebral palsy. So I work with them and I work with a lot of the older children. And I also now am a clinical supervisor at Iona University. So I oversee some of the undergrad and grad students.
That's incredible. So for our listeners, EI stands for early intervention.
Yes.
And you have so much experience working with patients with multifaceted problems. And this, it sounds really like an intense yet rewarding setting to be in.
Yes, exactly.
Do some of your children have speech generating devices or use AAC, augmentative alternative communication?
Yes, that's a great question. So I do work with a lot of students who are nonverbal, and some of them, it's like a range of devices. Some use more lower tech, some also though do have higher tech devices. So some will use like Proloquo, and then some, this is a common device for children with visual impairment. It's called the LAMP device with the Accent 1000, and it has that key guard, which supports their muscle memory. So they can feel the device and then they can choose appropriately. So yeah, I do have students that use all like a range of devices.
I have found that I've really enjoyed working with PRC Saltillo with
Oh, they're
using
amazing.
LAMP.
Yes. Yes. They're wonderful.
Yes. Getting the speech generating devices approved through them was actually a really interesting and fun process. It wasn't as daunting as I thought it would be. They have
That's
really
always
great
good.
reps. Yes.
Yes, they do. I met them at the ASHA convention last year when it was in Boston, and they were very nice.
That's wonderful. So you are a children's author, Tell us
Yes.
about what's your book called and what inspired you to write this book?
Yeah, so my book is called Sophie's Special Story, and it is about my journey and my relationship with my dog, Sophie. And at the time, I actually got the idea when I was back in graduate school. So when we're in graduate school, we have to do all of our clinical rotations on campus, off campus. So for one of mine, it was off campus at a gen ed public school like K to fifth. And what I was noticing was that there were obviously high number of students on the speech therapist caseload. Also, a lot of times the students will get grouped, especially in like a gen ed public school. So I thought we need more resources that can target many goals. And books are a great way to do that. And that was also around the time when I got Sophie. And also, I was having a lot of parents and teachers ask me, like, what are things that we can do at home, or what are things that we can do at a class in the classroom? And again, books are just very easy for parents to use at home or for teachers to keep in the classroom. So that was kind of how like the idea came about, and then how the book came to be.
This is wonderful that you were inspired to do this as a graduate student, really early
Yes,
on, that you saw
yes.
a need and then you were so creative using your dog as inspiration too, and figuring out what the problem is and a way to solve it in a really fun and creative way.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So, your book, Sophie's Special Story, targets the S sound and S consonant clusters, right?
Yes, because again, back to when I was in graduate school and like other SLPs can relate to this, I feel like when you're working with what we call like an ARTIC client, right, they usually struggle with either the S sound, the L sound, or the R sound. Those are like the most common mistakes. So I've seen a lot of children that have struggled with the S, and I was like, what's a fun way that we can kind of work this into the book? And my dog happened to be named Sophie. So in the book, I describe her with adjectives that some have that consonant cluster, some don't, but it's just a fun way for students or children just to get practice in there without them feeling like they're being, drilled and that they have to say sun, 10 or 15 times.
Yes, I love that you used Sophie, your dog. I use my dogs in therapy if there's a virtual session. Children
Yes.
with following one step directions, like I have my dog give me a high five, or they're their reinforcer if they're on task and they get to see my dog, which is so fun.
Yes, dogs are great. I love them.
Yes, I'm thinking about some of my clients that also have an articulation disorder, and the S sound is one of their goals to improve on. Would you be willing to share some elicitation techniques that you've tried that have been helpful, maybe for like a lateral lisp or any type of S issue?
Yes. So typically when I have worked with a student or a child that has struggled with their S, most of the time, right, it's that tongue keeps coming out, right? It's just that tongue is going forward. That's what I have seen in the children that I've worked with. So, and I put this in the book as well, in the back of the book, I try to tell the children that I work with, your tongue is like a snake, and we want to keep that snake in the cage, and the cage is your mouth. So I try to have them visualize that image and then practice it. And then also sometimes I'll even put like peanut butter or something behind the teeth so that the tongue just hits that. And then they know to kind of stop it there rather than having that tongue coming forward and coming out.
That is a great plan. Those are
Yes.
wonderful strategies. I may bring peanut butter and double check for any nut allergies for some
Right.
upcoming sessions.
Yes. And then, of course, I think it's helpful too, because honestly, it's interesting. I feel like people think that our tic is like easier to treat. I think personally, our tic is one of the hardest things to treat because you have to retrain those oral muscles, right, to now act appropriately and form the correct sounds. But so I always tell the parents and the teachers, make sure there's that carryover. So obviously, it's we help them in the sessions, but you have to also do it at home or in the classroom with those like little tricks that we talked about.
Yes. So, do you usually tell parents about your book or teachers about your book, and then they try it out and they come back to you with questions?
Yeah, I in the past when I was working at more like just like gen ed public schools, I would tell them about the book, or even when I did like EI home care, and because I use my book for many different goals. I definitely use it for the S, but I also use it even just answering WH questions or labeling, objects, pictures in the book. So some of the younger population, they also benefit from it as well. So then I would tell the parents and tell the teachers, and they would try it out. And even some like librarians would have it, and then they would give me feedback.
This is great. I'm just thinking about how there's this misconception sometimes that once you read a book, it's time to go to the next one. What are the benefits of a child rereading the same book?
Yeah, and I think that's definitely true. I think, and it's understandable for a child to be like excited, yay, that like a book is finished and now they want to move on to the next one. And we know that most children, especially the little guys, they have shorter attention spans. But even in my speech therapy sessions, whether it's my book or other books, I reuse them all the time. And a lot of the benefits are that you can target other language and literacy goals as well. You can have the child or the student tell you the story. You could have them ask questions. You could bring up topics of conversation that you didn't before. You could work on additional social skills like turn taking or talking about different emotions. So there's definitely benefits in rereading, depending on their age level.
Yes, beautiful. And I love how the librarian's incorporating your book too.
Yes.
Yes. Have you ever autographed your book for your clients?
I have, yes, for a few of them. Yeah. I usually sign my name, and then I actually have like a little stamper with Sophie's name and a paw print, and I put that in there as well.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
Thank you.
Yes. Have you ever thought about setting up a booth at ASHA, the American Speech Hearing Association convention?
Yes, I have. And honestly, I definitely would do it in the future. When I got invited, well, I went to the Boston one and I got invited because I was one of the ASHA 2023 Innovator Award recipients, which was
Yay.
really nice. Thank you, because of my book. And then this year it was in Seattle, which for me is like on the opposite side of the country. So unfortunately, I couldn't get out there. But maybe when it comes back on the East Coast for the following year, then I could do something like that.
Okay, I think I might be having a memory. Was your award and book printed in one of the ASHA magazines that gets mailed
Yeah.
home? I actually saw that and I love
Okay.
that. And I'm
Oh,
just,
thank you.
you're welcome. I'm just piecing it together in this
Yep.
moment that that was you. That
Yes.
actually lit up my day. And I,
Oh.
thumbed through the ASHA magazine, and that one really was full of light and creativity, and that spoke to me because I don't really remember much that gets mailed to me, but that
Right.
one was beautiful. And so that what an honor that
Oh,
you
thank you. I
created this.
appreciate that.
Yes, so that they awarded you this. Yes, I don't want to skip over any awards. Will you tell
That's
us
okay.
how were you chosen for this, or are there other awards you want to talk about?
So honestly, someone must have nominated me because it just came in my like email one day. They knew about my book. And then in the email, it said that, I was one of the 2023 Innovator Award recipients because of my work with Sophie's Special Story. And like you said, like the creativity and uniqueness. And obviously, I was super grateful and honored. And it was really cool because at that ASHA convention, it was myself and then the other award recipients, and we got to go on stage and take a picture with like the ASHA CEO, and they gave us this ribbon. It was very, very nice.
This is lovely, and I have goosebumps because I just am so happy for you. I just love to see creativity honored and to hear really good things about our field. So
Yes, it's
this
always
is
nice to hear
good.
the positive things.
Yes. Yeah, our field, we're always growing like everyone else. What is your advice to someone who is interested in maybe joining the field of speech language pathology?
I always tell people, especially now that I work with undergrad and grad students, it's different when you're at the grad level, right? You already know you're there, but if you can maybe shadow a person, then what I also would suggest is to really think about it, right? Because at least in New York, you can't practice without a master's. I know in some other states, you could just do a bachelor's or you could be an SLPA, but I tell people it's 6 years of school. So just make sure that you really want to do this and that you really are passionate about it. But there are so many places, at least around my area, that do allow shadowing opportunities. Like the school that I work at, and we work with such a unique population that many people do take advantage, to come and observe, whether it's the SLPs, the OTs, the teachers. And that's great because it's like you could see it firsthand.
Yes, I did not realize that in New York you have to have your master's to
Oh,
practice.
yes. Oh, yes.
Wow, they take it very
Yes.
seriously.
Not only that, we also have our TSSLD. I don't know if you've heard of that, but it's like an extra certification that you have to have in New York to work with school-age children. And it stands for teacher of speech services, language disabilities, or something. And it's essentially what speech therapists need to work with the school-age population.
Very thorough. The children are
Yes.
very well taken care of and have a lot of experts working with them. I can only imagine how that is really, really supporting their growth as learning all of their sounds and language goals to have a ton of therapists. Is there a shortage of therapists in New York right now?
Yes. And especially at my school, not just speech, it's like PT, we were short, OT, we were short, teacher aides, we were short. My school is very specialized. It's the students are in a 6-1-2 classroom. So it's six students, one teacher, two aides. And because my students have such severe needs, they get all the services, right? They get speech 3 times a week, OT 3 times a week, PT 3 times a week. They get orientation mobility services because they're blind multiple times a week. And honestly, even my friends that work, in other settings like EI or just Gen Ed public schools, I feel like since COVID, it's like there's still this shortage.
Yes, same here. We are looking for more speech language pathologists, of course, in California. And yes, never a dull moment in our field. And
True.
I really, really love it. You're never bored.
Oh,
And
that's true.
yes, I'm glad that you have a small classroom with a lot of support of teachers and teachers' aides, and that they're getting the services that they need. That's so important to be able to grow.
Yes, definitely. And honestly, when I first started at this school a year ago, I really had no idea what I was in for because, speech therapists, we're not really trained in graduate school to work with visually impaired students, right? So I was like, I'm just going to go in there, I'll learn, I'll ask questions. And now I love it. But honestly, you don't realize as a speech therapist how much of our resources and our prompting are based on visual, right? Like it's usually picture books, or we usually say look here, look at this, or all this stuff is 2D. And obviously if I have a blind child, I can't use that. So I had to really pivot.
Yes. Wow. I know that there was a vision specialist that would consult with me at one of the districts I was working with. Do they have anybody there that can give you some strategies, or are you a lone wolf?
No, I have to say, thank goodness that all the teachers and the other staff, they're great. And a lot of them, which is even better, have been at this school for like 15 or 20 years. So they're experts and very well versed. And most of the teachers there are teachers of the visually impaired. So they have that certification and they were able to kind of help me and, adapt with this new population.
That's good that there were other people to support you. That is still a big learning curve working with these children that are visually impaired and getting the right print so that they can access that visual information as best as they can. Yes. I'm thinking about your book and how it could be enlarged so that they could see it.
Yeah, I would love to. Like for my second book, I really want to do something where it either has like Braille incorporated or like enlarged print or some kind of like tactile images that go along with it. It's very hard to do because I've tried to reach out to like certain printing houses and publishing companies, but it's obviously not super common for like typical publishing companies to like have Braille, as an add-on feature. So I still have to do research, but yeah, it's something that I would like to do.
Whoa, this is so awesome. Do you know if this next book, well, you probably do, is it going to be in the area of articulation or something else?
So it's going to target other speech goals, but it's still going to have like Sophie as like the main character.
Oh, I love
Yes.
that. And how did you publish your first book? Self-publish, or you found somebody in the publishing company?
Yeah, so I went through a publishing company and honestly, like there's pros and cons, to both sides, whether you self-publish or use a publishing company. For me, one of the biggest pros with a publishing company is that it was kind of like a one-stop shop for everything. Like, once you sign the contract, they, do all the editing and they do the illustrations and then they print the book and then they distribute it to like Amazon, Walmart, which is really nice versus, if you self-publish, you have to kind of find out all that support for all the different areas.
And did you feel like they kept the heart of your message, or was that did they kind of take creative liberty away from you?
No, I was really, really lucky and really, really impressed that with the company that I had worked with, they went over everything with me. And they always asked me, like, what do you think about this? How does this look? And then before, we moved on to kind of like the next phase, they always checked with me. So that was really nice.
That's wonderful. And are you comfortable sharing a little bit about what it was like to pitch your book, or if there was any negotiating for the percent that you get to keep off of sales?
Yes. So when it comes to like pitching your book, honestly, I must have emailed at least like 10 or 20 publishing companies. And what some people don't know, and I didn't know this until I started to do this, was that some of the bigger publishing companies, they won't even like respond to your email or accept your email unless you have like a literary agent. So that's even like a whole other uphill battle. So some of the smaller publishing companies at least will like accept your email and they'll look through your manuscript. A lot of them were like, this is a great idea, but it's not a good fit because, we don't publish books about pets or, whatever. Sometimes the publishing companies are kind of looking for like a very specific genre or a very specific kind of theme or character. So a lot of it is like trial and error and then making sure that the publishing company is a good fit. They'll respect you, they'll keep the integrity of your book and your message. And then in terms of negotiation, I'm really lucky. My dad's a lawyer. So it was nice because when they did send me the contract, I had my dad review it, but it's pretty standard. I mean, for most publishing companies, at least the reputable ones, they should always allow you to keep 100% rights to your book. So no one should be like taking that away from you. And that was the case with mine. And then at least with mine, the publishing company, they make a very small percentage after I make my initial investment back. Now, that kind of varies, depending on the company. And some companies are more expensive than others, depending on what package and what you want. But that's kind of like the general gist.
So it sounds like you paid into the book taking off.
Yes.
So was there not a sign-on bonus?
No. So, unless, honestly, like, I feel like unless you're like super famous, like Nicholas Sparks, or what is the new one? Colleen Hoover, like It Ends With Us, you're probably not going to get a sign-on bonus. So what typically happens is when they give you the contract, they'll say like it costs, let's say like $5,000, right? But then when you sign the contract, you're paying X per month for them. And then what you're paying, like if it's $200 a month, $300 a month, you're paying for them to do the services of editing, illustrating, printing. So that's like what you're paying into essentially.
Oh, did you go with a hybrid publishing company?
I
Not.
believe they are considered hybrid.
Yes. Okay. So I know there's self-publishing, traditional publishing, and hybrid publishing. And I've heard a little bit about each one. And the hybrid publishing, this makes more sense to me. For some reason, I was thinking that a traditional publisher was having you pay into it
Oh,
first.
yes.
And
Right.
then they gave back your investment. Okay, now I am at peace hearing this. This was a hybrid one. It's like you're collaborating to make the beauty of your book come to life and that people can access it quicker because they've got all of the support there to help get it out there. And I'm so glad that you got to keep the rights to your book. That way, with this next one, you can decide if you'll go with them again, right? Or if you'll choose a different one.
I have the right to do that. Like I could go with them, or I could, choose another publishing company.
Whoever is able to really honor how you want to incorporate, is it Braille or some other type of? Yes. This is so needed for people to be able to access information. And I think that that really honors their story. And for you to put the time into figuring out a way for this to happen is really beautiful. So thank you for how you're contributing to the field and to these children on their journey of accessing language and stories.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yes, you're welcome. I was wondering, what is your advice to someone who's interested in writing a book, but they maybe have imposter syndrome or they are having a hard time with time management or time stewardship?
Yes, and I think imposter syndrome is very real for all of us, even like as speech therapists. Like I think that happens to us like all the time, like no matter how long you've been in the field. I always tell people who come up to me, like if I have a book event and they're like, oh, I have this idea, or oh, I was thinking about writing this book, I'm like, do it. Do it. You should do it. Because honestly, like the world needs more books, I think. I think we need to be reading to our children. I mean, there's so much research that backs that. And your story, whether you're writing a children's book or an adult book, whatever, is going to be unique, right? Obviously, that's your story, that's your perspective. So what I always tell people is just start jotting it down. Obviously it doesn't have to be perfect, whether it's bullet points, in a Google Doc, just start writing it down, because you would be surprised like how much information like naturally flows. And then as far as like for imposter syndrome, when my imposter syndrome comes up is like I think to myself, as a speech therapist, like, am I doing a good job? Like, was that a good session? Am I actually like making a difference in these kids' lives? Especially when you work with such severely disabled children, sometimes it can be discouraging. And I have to remind myself like that the children like look forward to coming to speech and all the positive things. So I think also having positive self-talk. If you want to write a book, like this could be really an interesting story. Someone could really enjoy this. But I think, yeah, just like taking action to sit down, start jotting it down, and then doing the research if you want to self-publish, or if you want to go through a company.
Yes, this is wonderful advice. I love that, thinking about speech sessions. And the other day, I had some children who got into a little a little squabble. Somebody needed
Yes.
the calm corner.
Well,
And once everybody settled down, we went back into our game. It was actually an articulation session, but I had them roll the die and then they would say the number and
right.
then I'd read the question. And the question was, what is your favorite place on earth? And one
Oh,
of the
yeah.
children, he looked at me and he smiled and said, speech. And
Oh, see?
my jaw dropped. I was like, really? What do you love so much about speech? And he said, I love that you play games with us and I love hanging out with you. And
Yes,
I felt
yes.
so loved. I actually had to sit in my calm corner and just soak in the moment because there was
Yes.
all of these waves of emotions happening, but we were just embracing all of them during the session. And
Yeah.
it meant so much to hear that, even when, like you said, you wonder how much of a difference are you making when there are complex things going on? And then you see, okay, there's an impact on their hearts, which will make them more receptive to learning and growing towards their communication and language
Oh,
goals or
yes.
artic goals.
And I always tell people too, like, whether it's writing a book or speech therapy, we are our own worst enemies, like, with whatever, the topic is. Like, we always are the ones that are, like, usually competitive with ourselves or picking ourselves apart. Because, like, to an outside person who could be, like, walking, through the hallway and observing that speech session, they are probably seeing, oh, like, they're just playing games, they're having fun, that's a great session. But then, like, you're in your head. And you're like, oh, this could have been better, or I could have done this and that. But to everyone else and to the children, like, they're having fun and like it looks great. So I think sometimes too, like, we're just too hard on ourselves.
Yes. Speaking about that, I got kind of like laryngitis the other month where I could not speak. And I had all of these sessions lined up and I had just lost my voice. And so I used text to speech software during
Oh,
all of my sessions. And I had some nonverbal students speak
yeah.
for the first time. They were
Yeah.
like excited to actually use their voice. They're like, oh, you can't talk. Let me talk for you. And so
Right.
at first I thought, oh no, do I not show up? I felt really well and I wasn't contagious. I was just really run down at the moment, but I felt like I could sit, use text to speech, hydrate, and still show up. And the children actually took initiative and
Oh,
they were reading things for me and to their peers. They were being
right.
listeners. They showed so much empathy. One child with autism, said like, oh, it's so sad that you lost your voice. And then when it came back, they're like, hey, your voice is back. That's
Right.
great. And so it was such a beautiful moment that could have been really, really sad. I could have been super down on myself, like, how you're a speech therapist. How could you lose your
Right.
voice?
Right.
That reminds me, actually, during my first week in undergrad, people were asking me what my major was, but I had lost my voice then too and had to like write down speech language pathology and audiology.
Yeah.
It's so funny the times in life where we are not fully functioning at our
It's true.
optimal level,
Yes.
but our mindset can really have a huge impact on how we show up and how it ends up going. So it's something I'm always
Definitely.
working on is reframing things and trying to make the story come to life with more of a beautiful ending.
Yes, that's definitely true. And I think too, like, sometimes, like, children surprise us. Like, if they see, like, for you, like, you were, didn't have your voice that day and they took initiative. Like, sometimes they will surprise you like that.
They will, yes. So I'm thinking back to the author journey that you've had, and I'm currently working on a book. It's not directly in speech language pathology, but working on it, and I've got my outline. So do you recommend that aspiring authors set aside a chunk of time each day so it becomes a habit? Or is it taking some time off, like days off and going somewhere and just hashing it out. What's your approach?
This is a good question. I honestly get asked this a lot, and I feel like I don't ever have like the perfect answer. I think too, since mine is a children's book and it's not, you know, super long, it's maybe like 20, 25 pages at the most. So I kind of wrote mine, like I wrote mine pretty fast, like the concept. And then, you know, I went through it with the company and editing and all that. I don't remember the exact amount of days it took me, but I would say to play to your strengths. Like for me, I'm pretty type A. I have a schedule, you know, like whether it's for my personal or my professional life. So it's like if I had to write a book now, and when I was working on my second one, I was setting aside time, let's say like every Sunday for an hour, or like when I had days off from the school to take, you know, a chunk of time to kind of work on things. But if you're the kind of person where maybe you need like, you know, a month off, or you need like a more creative outlook or outlet or creative space, you could do that as well. So I would say like you have to do like kind of what you're comfortable with and what your strengths are. Like if you told me that like I had to go to like a cabin for a month, that would like stress me out because I need to be like on a schedule, routine, and like have my planner and all that. But some, you know, people, they do better in those situations. So I think it kind of depends on your personality and then also the type of book that you're writing. If you're writing like 200 page, you know, adult book, that's obviously different than, you know, a children's book.
Yes, that makes sense. I can relate to what you're saying in some ways. I do have an hourly planner, but I find myself deviating at times, but it means so much to me to write down the schedule or the proposed plan. So that's really neat that you're sticking with the plan. Yes. Yeah, I have a lot of alarms set throughout my day to
Oh,
stay
yes.
on
I feel
task.
like, yeah. And I feel like most speech therapists are that way. Like my friends that are also SLPs, most of us are like type A, especially the ones that work in a school, like, cause you're kind of just used to like naturally having structure and naturally having like, you know, that organization and this session. And then I have this session. So that makes sense.
Yes. And it's so fun, this journey. I think only about 1% of the population are authors. Is that correct?
Oh, wow. That's crazy. Honestly, I don't know. I mean, it could be, right? I don't know.
I should
That's
Google it.
crazy. Yeah.
I think someone told me
Wow.
that the other day, but I'll Google it right now.
That's amazing. Yeah, and that's crazy because, like, when you think about, like, I'm thinking about it in my head, how many, and the fact that only like it's just 1% that are authors. Wow,
Wow.
that's
Yeah.
wild.
I'm pretty sure. I mean, well, it looks like there's so many different articles and
I'm sure.
opinions on it, but it's pretty rare. I'm pretty sure. Listeners, you can research this and
Let
comment.
us know what you find.
Yeah, whether you're listening on YouTube or you can message on Instagram, email, but this will be airing on for sure Spotify and Apple Podcasts, wherever you're listening. Yes. So you've definitely inspired me to get back into writing my book. I put a pause in it for a bit because I just wrapped up a 10-week Mic Drop Academy workshop where it was really intense on focusing on keynote speaking. And so I got my keynote speaking certification with my Mic Drop Academy certification just now, and that's wrapping up. So I will rededicate the time that was spent in that each week to plugging away at my book. My mentor for my book is Erin Wiedemann. She's invented Legacy Story Academy. And so she's really helped me work through getting out all, well, it's called like story mapping, where you get all the events of your life and you organize them, and then you pick which themes you want to talk about and incorporate them. So it's all there. And now it's just time to really be intentional and dedicate that same focus I had on the workshop to now the book. And so thank you for inspiring me. You inspired me to get back into the podcast. I took a bit of a break with my move. There was a bunch of different things. And when you reached out and asked, you know, are you taking guests? I was like, yes, I am. So thank you. You've really encouraged me on my journey with everything with communication and now writing. And I only just met you and saw you in a magazine once.
Right. Well, thank you. That's very nice. And I really do get happy. And I really think like my bigger purpose is if I can use my story to inspire even one person, then it's like, you know, it made it all worth it.
Yes. Well, you've for sure inspired me, and I know you've inspired so many others already. So thank you for what you are doing, what you've done. And how can our listeners get in touch with you or find your book?
Yeah. So my book is on the most common ones, Walmart, Barnes and Noble, Amazon, if you just search Sophie's Special Story. And it is also available. So it's hardcover. And then also, like what's, oh my gosh, I just had a brain like when they listen.
The audiobook.
Audiobook. Thank you. Yes. So it's there as well. And then Instagram, I'm at Speechy Teacher, spelled with two R's. And then on Facebook, my page is Sophie Special Story.
Wonderful. And what's one way we can echo eternity or encourage others?
Oh, good question. One way to encourage others. One of the mottos that I like live by is be the change. So if you see something that you want to do, and I think then that also encourages others, because if they see you taking action and doing something, whether it's writing a book or, you know, whatever the case may be, then they might be like, oh, I can do this, or I should, you know, do X, Y, and Z.
Yes, be the change. That is so fitting with who you are as a person, mentor, speech language pathologist, author, how you live your life. So thank you for speaking to us today about being the change. It was such an honor to have you here today. Thank you so much. And I hope to meet you in person someday.
Oh, thank you for having me. I guess that would be great if we got to meet up in person.
You're welcome. Thank you so much. And hi to Sophie from me and my dogs.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. See you next time. Thanks so much for joining me today on the Echo and Encourage podcast. I hope this inspired you and gave you a fresh perspective. If you loved today's episode, hit that subscribe button, rate, and leave a review. Your support helps this encourage more people. Connect with us on social media or visit our website for more resources to help you live your best life. See you next time.